name's Michelle O'Woon. I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another Project. The date today is the 25th of August 2009, and the time is now 1:31 p.m. Could you tell me your name, your age, and where you came from, please?
My name is Mark Newton. I'm 57, just a hair's breadth away from 58, and I live in, well, nearest landmark is Alexandra Palace in North London.
How are you feeling?
Nervous.
Nervous about anything in particular?
No, but this is something that I've never done before, which is probably a fairly standard comment. And anything that's new has got to be approached with a certain degree of trepidation is too strong, but anticipation, nervous anticipation. But I'm sure it'll be fine once I'm up there.
Lovely,
I'm sure that's what.
Mm-hmm. When did you find out you had a place on the plinth?
Ooh, sometime earliest July, I think. I can't remember the exact date, but I'd put in my application just on a what the hell basis, you know, if you don't try, you're never going to get. And I was quite astonished to get an email saying I'd been selected. You know, sort of looked very closely at the address, thought, is this a hoax? Is this. But it wasn't. And I have had moments of thinking, well, if I was going to get one stroke of luck, if I was going to be selected, I wish I'd bought a lottery ticket. But never having bought one. But I think I'll settle for this. It's the sort of something slightly different, the sort of thing that I like doing.
I was going to ask you, actually, what was it about the project that made you want to take part?
Well, I've been rather keen on Anthony Gormley's work, the various bits and pieces he's done over the last few years, though I haven't studied them terribly closely. They have struck a chord with the British public. And I'm not terribly sophisticated in the sense of artistic appreciation, but this is just so interesting and exciting to have the opportunity to be part of something like this. Only a very small number of us from across the country have got this opportunity, and it's different, isn't it? So,
do you like to do new and unusual things?
I would like to say, you know, with a very enthusiastic yes. And there are certain things I do with a great deal of enthusiasm. Other things, well, I mean, I can be a little bit stick in the mud-ish on occasion. But one of the reasons I'm in this costume today is that I'm hoping to raise awareness of a charity I'm involved with, which has two square-rigged sailing ships. Big old-fashioned hornblower-style ships, for want of a better word, which have been built from the outset so that people with disabilities can sail on as near equal terms as the more able-bodied people. And the opportunity to get out and sail one of those ships is something I just leapt at, whereas most of my friends thought I was crazy. Whitewater rafting, got a chance to do that, leap at it. Again, you know,
so
you must be mad.
Physical activity, you're quite sporty.
Yeah, if I can. I mean, I've got some slight physical disabilities. I can't, my legs have been smashed up, so I can't move with quite the same ease, speed and distance as I would like. But if it fits, it fits.
How did you become involved with this charity?
I'd always wanted to sail a big square-rigged sailing ship. And a friend of my wife's, somehow or other, had found out about the charity. She sailed on one of the ships from somewhere or other to Millwall Dock in London. We went down to pick her up, and I was absolutely fascinated. I started going all over this ship. People were, the crew were so friendly, so helpful, and persuaded me with no difficulty at all that I was actually quite capable of, say, being part of the crew of that ship. And so I thought, well, okay, give it a try. So I had a, probably sort of 4 or 5 day sail on that. And apologies to the late Viv Stanshaw, but I came back feeling like two separate gorillas. I mean, I was just enormous. It was astonishing. I came back through the crowds at Waterloo Station, and I had my kit bag over my shoulder, and I don't know what expression was on my face, but people just stood to one side, and I've never had anything quite like that before or since, come to that. And it had just hit whatever particular centre there is for that sort of thing in the human brain, and I thought, this is something I want to do more of.
What kind of alterations or modifications do they need to make to a ship like that so that people, as you say, with disabilities can sail?
Well, there are a range of modifications made, because the range of disabilities that people might have is, of course, so wide. As a simple example, there are braille signs and direction indicators all over the ship. There are certain raised sections, raised strips on the deck, so people using the sort of the feeling sticks, I'm not sure what the official term is, can find them and work out where they are. Of course, the blind people have got a significant advantage, particularly when they go up the mast, because they can't see the drop beneath them. The rest of us are just terrified.
Did you go up the mast?
Oh yes.
Did you have a problem because of your legs?
No, because the whole idea is you do what you can do, you take it at your own speed. And in fact, I've discovered that my speed, and with practice I emphasize, my natural nervousness, because anybody who says that if they're 100 feet up in the air over the water and they're not nervous is a liar. But you can control, once you learn that you are actually quite safe, provided you're careful, it really becomes quite exhilarating. Admittedly, there is a great element of the adrenaline rush once you get back down again. But
quite liberating, I would think.
Hmm. I'm sorry.
Quite liberating.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I don't know any. None of my friends have done any of this sort of thing, and they can walk. They can go off on 25-mile walks, as my wife does. Can't possibly do that. They do this, that, and the other. But I've done something none of them have done, I can be a little bit different, a little bit special as well. How conceited is that?
Describe what you're wearing for me, please.
I'm wearing a sort of mock-up of a late 18th century, early 19th century mariner's uniform. This is not actually a naval uniform. The white stockings, white breeches, which are fairly authentic, with the fold-down flap at the front, a white thick cotton shirt with a frilled ruff at the front, black stock around the neck, and the jacket is a cutaway frock coat with gold buttons and brad on the cuffs, but no naval uniform markings. This is not a naval uniform. This might well have been worn by, or something like this might have been worn by a merchant mariner, the mate or the captain on a merchant ship, and topped off with a tricorn hat.
Naturally. How do you feel wearing that outfit?
I hate to say it, but I think I could get used to wearing something like this. I mean, it's a pity about my skinny, damaged legs sticking out of the bottom, but it's actually quite fun. I mean, I think we all like dressing up. I admittedly, when this first came up, I really had thought that, you know, go for the inner peacock. You know, get hold of a Victorian admiral's full dress uniform, as perhaps, you know, the Doyley Cart Company might use, but couldn't find one of those at any sort of reasonable price. You know, they're available, but, you know, sort of £300-400 to hire.
Where did you find this
out? Somebody else in the charity Jubilee Sailing Trust made this for himself. He was very good with a needle and thread, and by some fluke, although we're rather different in physical appearance, it does seem to fit just about. I wouldn't. It's a little bit looser in some places and a little bit tighter in others than perhaps it might be. But
are you going to be talking to anybody while you're on the plane?
I will. I am certainly going to try and acknowledge all the friends and supporters that I can. But I think in terms of conversation with people from the top of the plinth down to ground level, it just doesn't seem to work, to be honest. I've came down. Had a look a couple of times just to see how it seems to be working out, and people have tried, or I've seen people trying, and it there's little communication. I might, if there is rumour that there's a microphone available for the webcam, which I'd quite like to have if possible, provided it's gone on and off switch. I wouldn't want all my mutterings to be transmitted.
What else will you be doing up there?
Just being as much as anything else. I've brought along a length of rope, and I might practice some complicated knots if I feel like it. But I suspect that I suspect I'll spend a lot of the time just looking at the crowd.
Had you ever done any sailing before you hooked up with Jubilee Sailing Trust?
I'd done a little bit on small boats, the sort of when somebody had invited me, the Bermudan sloop, 32-foot things like that. The sort of boat you might think of as, you know, sailing a few hundred yards off the coast, and dinghy sailing as well, a little bit, but not very much.
Are you working at the moment?
I've just been paid a large amount of money to go away, so I got my first pension check a few days ago, and it is wonderful.
What are you hoping to do with your spare time now that you have some?
Well, the Jubilee Sailing Trust is certainly going to get a little bit of my time, not all of it. I volunteer as a community responder with the London Ambulance Service, so when I'm on those occasions I'm on call there, I have a defibrillator and a tank of oxygen, things like that, and I get called out from time to time. Haven't saved anybody's life yet, but on the other hand, I haven't killed anybody either. So I think that's pretty good. And I'm also arranging to do a little bit of volunteer work for the North London Hospice, just driving, basically. One thing I don't want to do is do my old job for
which
no
was?
Money. I started off working for the fire service, not as an operational firefighter, but as a sort of chemical specialist. And then for the last 20 years, I've been working for an insurance company looking at buildings and working out if they're going to burn, and if so, how much it's going to, how much damage it's going to do, which is quite interesting. But you know, after a while, but I'm quite glad to have stopped doing that, as it was. You learn something new every day, whether you like want to or not. But I wasn't learning as nearly as things that were nearly as interesting as they used to be. And I think you get to a point when you're beginning to be less receptive to new ideas, and it's a danger that was getting close. Not quite sure, though. But they wanted to cut the headcount. Here's some money, go away, and here's your pension.
Are you looking forward to going up on the plinth now?
Yep.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
I'm sorry?
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
Well, thank you, Anthony Gormley, basically. I think this is a wonderful idea. I don't think there are many other people who would have had the combination of qualities that it takes to get this through. There have been so many arguments about what to do with the plinth, and this is just such an exciting one. But thank you very much.
Thank you very much.